Yeah, I got fooled on the width of the spline track. I bought the wrong spline, so I had to go back, pull that spline out, put the heaviest spline in.
The trials and tribulations of splining.
Yeah. Hopefully I got the right size now. It feels tight.
You'll find out.
Yeah, when my wife puts her elbow on the screen and pushes it out again, I'll know. Gotta go for the next size up.
Bitches. Net tonight at 8:30. WQVL repeater system.
I'm coming up to the clear view, and the million-dollar signs are saying delays to exit 17, and it's starting to slow down. I'm thinking of popping up now.
It's almost a rarity when that sign doesn't say delays to 17.
Yeah, but I'm a half a mile from the exit, and I've already slowed down to 35.
Then, do whatever you want to do.
Decisions, decisions, decisions.
Does your lady in the box tell you?
Lady in the box is saying everything's clear. Yeah, that there's no traffic.
Who do you believe?
I believe my eyes when I see too many stoplights. Took the ramp to the clear view. Hopefully I didn't make a mistake.
You'll know when you get up to the expressway.
That I will.
Actually mowed the lawn on Saturday.
Yeah, my yard's been cleaned up also. You use your real lawnmower?
Actually, I broadcast the gas-powered one.
Why'd you use the power one? You have this wonderful rotary lawnmower that runs off of Richard Power. I thought you loved that lawnmower.
I do love that lawnmower. I just didn't feel like taking it out yesterday.
I guess you wanted to use up the gas from the snowblower.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Okay. On the transfer now from the Clearview to the LIE. So far, I haven't made a mistake. Let's see what happens when I come around this curve.
Oh, see? You made a big mistake.
Well, I'll say one thing. No advantage.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have much of an advantage.
It says 10 minutes to the Grand Central from this point.
Which is about same point where you were before.
Yeah. Didn't gain anything by doing this.
You gained a new perspective. That's what you gained. And to be being mobile.
And to ZDP mobile. Yeah, I get to look at the tail lights of different vehicles now.
Yeah, who knows? You might see some taillights you hadn't seen before, because you're traveling in a different time frame now in that section of cars.
And this electronic sign says delays ahead. Where from where to where? Come on. Casino Boulevard to Woodhaven Boulevard. Oh, tell me something new.
Actually, I thought about that a little bit more. You're probably traveling in the same group of cars that you would have been traveling in had you stayed where you were.
Not yet. Maybe once we get there. Yeah, I could have caught up to this group.
You're probably relatively in the same group of cars if you had just stayed on the Grand Central and come up the spiral staircase and merged that way.
Yeah, I just passed my alma mater, Franny Lou. Oh, now the lady in the box tells me there's traffic ahead.
She's just being a good co-pilot and an even better woman.
It's interesting how sometimes she says there's a lot of traffic and I'm going full highway speed, and vice versa.
Must be those chromosomes.
For some reason, no matter what it's like by the tunnel, this little lady always says that there's heavy traffic in the tunnel.
Just like a woman.
I don't know how many times she keeps saying to me I should be going up towards the Queensboro Bridge, and I ignore her.
Stay out of my tunnel. Head for the bridge.
You know, when you put it this way, I get a different meaning.
Telling you, just like a woman. Bet you if you changed to a man's voice on that GPS, he would say, head for the tunnel.
Bye.
Try it.
I don't have it set to actually give me the route. I just have it telling me the traffic on the road.
Tanya, when you get a chance, when you're not driving, change the voice to the male voice. And I guarantee you, every time he's going to go, head for the tunnel.
That would be really interesting if that were true.
No, it wouldn't. It would just be GPS mimicking life.
Yeah, that would be similar to the old song, Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
Okay. If you're a Phil Rizzuto fan.
Okay, you got the song.
Holy cow, I think he's gonna make it. Be right back, it's begin.
Did you do anything?
It's begin.
N2PBN, N2ZEP. Well, I'm almost up to the Grand Central, so I don't think I lost any time.
That's what I was saying, you know. It's pretty much so an equivalent ride, because the day that I think I did the expressway move and was chasing after you, I didn't gain any ground. I mean, we stayed about the same distance apart all the way.
Okay, so you should be, if that's the case, you should be coming out of the trench right about now.
No, I'm just going into the trench.
Okay. So, the traffic wasn't that bad because the trench is where exit 17 is.
It's just slow. It's the same slowness that everybody was doing because they got their mindsets into all of those new potholes and all of that, you know, bombed out minefield of the trench. So everybody would just go creepy crawly slow, and then once they realized, oh, there's no potholes here, then they would pick it up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm experiencing the merge from the other perspective now.
Did you get onto the service road over there? Right after Main Street, or did you stay on the main line?
Stayed on the main line. That service road is horrible.
Yeah, well, you could get off at that exit for the Grand Central Parkway, and that puts you on the service road of the spiral staircase, and you can actually pick up some vehicle time over there, because generally, when everybody's coming up the spiral staircase, if you've noticed, there's not a whole lot of people coming from behind you.
Sometimes that merge is treacherous.
vanilla, no sprinkles.
Well, why take the hard route when you take the easier route? Today the merge doesn't look too bad. I'm right up by it.
Well, that's good. Certainly wouldn't want to have a hard merge.
I think you can merge better when you're hard.
Ew.
And I was just driving next to a truck, and it's become kind of typical. A lot of trucks on the front wheels, the lug nuts, are sharp and pointy. Are they doing that just for looks, or is there some sort of actual reason that they do that?
You're talking about the chrome caps that go off of the lug nuts that make you think of, like, Mad Max?
Yeah, spikes. As if you're going to come next to you, next to them, they're going to rip the side of your car to shreds.
Except they're made of plastic. So they'll just fall off. They might scratch, but they're not going to make holes. Yeah, it's a visual thing. Big, tough truck. Don't get too close.
Okay, so those things are just covers. They're not actually, holding the wheel on.
Plastic slip-on covers that go the lug nuts. Used to find them all the time when I worked on the highway. We'd find them all the time. I used to stand them up like little soldiers on the dashboard of the truck.
Okay. And if you take a look at, I think it's on the city buses, they have what looks like orange pointers, and they're all pointing in the same circular direction. That so that the mechanic knows how tight to tighten the lug nuts?
Well, that shows them if the stud gets loose. That those are indicators. Better than a stripe of paint that you would put across the lug nut and the stud in order to show you if the nut loosened up and moved. The pointers are a much faster and easier way to see if the lug nuts are loose, because the pointer will move.
Okay, so that's the reason why they have them all pointing in one direction.
Yeah, exactly. So if any one of those things is pointing in a different direction, then there's a problem.
I bet you know this truck's came to UPS.
What about the truck search?
I said you know your trucks. Yeah, those things are definitely plastic. They're just for show. Guys like putting on a scary image, I guess. And, you know, those are, just like Rich said, indicators to let you know if those lug nuts are loose. Sometimes even though they feel tight, they may not be loose enough to spin, but they're loose enough where they're not holding the rim tight anymore. And the old indicators we used to see would be a line of rust coming out of that hole. That would be an indication. But of course, it's been loose for a while then if that happens. So these new plastic ones will tell you just at a glance, instantly if there's if any of them need attention.
Good morning, Rich. I guess when you tighten those lug nuts, you gotta make sure that the indicator is pointing in the right direction.
Yeah, you line them all up, you know, as you tighten them, and then if any of them get loose, you know, as the wheel goes around, they'll start pointing out towards the edge of the rim instead of at the stud next to it. And then, you know, you gotta have it checked. So that's something you always have to, part of your pre-check is making sure all the lug nuts are in good condition and tight. Like I said, they may be loose to the point where they're not really snug up against the rim, but not so loose that you can actually turn it by your hand. So it was always a tough call, well, are they loose or not? Well, now you can tell with those indicators. It's actually a great idea. Where'd you go, Rich?
I'm here. Just waiting for Gary to respond. And speak to Mobile, by the way.
hotel hand it off to because there's Rich and then there's Rich. So if I go take it, Rich, who's going to take it?
Well, we know what the order is, don't we, Rich?
Absolutely, we know. Gary seems to be the only one that doesn't know. Gary?
So if that's the case, when Rich dropped it, why didn't you pick it up? You said you were waiting for me.
Up until that point, we hadn't established the order.
So why'd you just break the order?
Because you're standing on ceremony, so I'm just throwing ceremony out the window.
He's just an unceremonious type of guy.
Well, sometimes you gotta break traditions, you know? I'm just leaving Farmingville, heading back to Queens. So, hopefully this rain will hold on. I don't know, it came through a lot of rain last night. I'm feeling we're gonna get some more rain, maybe before lunch, maybe a little bit after. But hopefully the whole day won't be a washout.
They're calling for a big washout today.
Well, what I heard was that it was going to be a heavy soaker this morning, then a break, and another rain late in the day. If I get lucky, I'll be driving home during the break.
Well, I guess they won't be going to the beach to do any portable ops today. I know. Stay in the house and work on some new wire antennas. Want to make a delta loop and put up on a jackite pole. That should work out good.
Stay in the house and get yourself a digital radio.
Well, right now I just want to have the rain hold off another 10-15 minutes and then I'll be in my building. And then if it breaks around 2 o'clock, I'll be happy.
I hope that works for you. If I get back into the city and into my own vehicle again before it starts, that'll make me happy. But we'll see. I just booked a hotel room over the weekend for going out to Dayton. Got a friend of mine to go out with me, and kind of last minute type of deal. I was going to be doing something else the week after, and then those plans fell through. So I decided to go out to Dayton instead. So should be fun. He's never been out there before. I've been out there once before. It's not as big as it used to be, but it should still be a fun weekend.
DTZ, stop off with your big brown truck. 6 DTZ.
DTZ recognized. Guys, I'm making the climb to go down the last slope to the tunnel. New station, pick it up and hand it over to UPS. And to Zeddy P here, 73 all.
Zeddy P in the group K6DTZ. Yeah, I wonder if anybody knows around Oceanside, where's the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles?
That I don't know how. I'd have to look it up myself. But I have to go now. I usually... I don't even think there's one in off of Hempstead Turnpike, I guess like in Bethpage area. That's the one that I've been going to when I have to go, which is very infrequently. Not sure near Oceanside where one is. You know, Rich?
I don't remember any DMVs on the South Shore. Looks to me like you're going to have to go to Bethpage.
Well, what I'm doing, I'm going to be on Valley. I'll just shoot up to Whitestone and go to that one. I think there's something close that'd be good, but I'll hit the Whitestone off the Valley.
Used to be one in Jamaica. I don't even know if that one's still there anymore, but Whitestone's about the best place after that.
Well, I figured. Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to take care of something here. Thanks for letting me in. Keep six dirty purple zombies.
All right, no problem. And I have an HF, an old HF screwdriver antenna, which I want to put on the back of the vehicle for the drive out. So we'll have some radio with us. Looking forward to it. It should be good. And this Friday, a couple days, all the other this week, when I come home in the morning, I might have a little bit of time, otherwise I'm just going to make a quick turn, pick up my wife and daughter. We're going to go to just outside of State College, Pennsylvania, about 4.5-5 hour drive, depending on traffic, going to a Basset Hound breeder who are in the market for another dog, and they just had a bunch of litters, and they don't sell to pet stores, and they don't ship the dogs. If you want one, you have to go there. So this Friday will be due, see if we like them. And then, and if they like us, I guess, and then maybe put a ribbon on one of the dogs. We'll see what they got.
Dogs.
Sounds like a real meet greet kind of situation there. So you get to potentially pick out the best hound of your choice.
Okay.
As long as they like you and you got the right color cash, I guess, but. Rich, I admire you.
KTUPS, oh well, I enjoy driving. I always do it ever since I learned how to do it. In stop and go traffic, middle of Manhattan, man, that's not so fun. But you get out on the interstate, you know, you have a nice destination to go to. It's pretty good. So I would not be happy sitting at a desk. That I know for sure.
Is it a busman's holiday?
Guess that's why I don't like traffic so much, Rich. I like driving, but I just hate traffic.
Well, I guess it's different too when you get paid to be in it, so that helps ease the pain a little bit. But like now, I'll probably sit in traffic on my way back to Queens. And I'm not getting paid for that. That's only paid about a mile. But if I get stuck in a traffic jam in New Jersey or something, then I'm getting paid for the delay. But when it's local, you don't get it, which kind of stinks. And I'm going to sit in traffic going home, too. So, oh, well, it's all part of the course there. And now, did you jump back in, or are you just making a comment?
Just made a comment, Rich. I like driving, too. I enjoy it. I've been around across the country, LA, New York to LA, about 17 times.
And it can be quite nice. I mean, it's a lot of nice scenery out there. And, you know, you have some good music to listen to, or you got the ham radio to keep you busy for a bit. It's really not all that bad. So, just, I'm glad I enjoy it, because it would be brutal if you didn't, so especially doing the amount of driving I'm doing now. But if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be doing this. That's for sure. Not the long distance, anyway. I'd be doing the local stuff home every day. But this works, pays the bills, and maybe pick up some new gear in Dayton. Don't know, I'm not really in the market for anything in particular, but we'll go and take a look around.
K6DPC. As a matter of fact, I flew across the country in single engines twice.
Yeah, well, flying, that's a whole other story. Oh, I remember reading a story by Dave Orek of Orek Vacuum. He crossed the country in a Stearman biplane, open cockpit, and he wrote a book about his adventure. It was pretty interesting.
And one time with a fellow, we had a VTL Beach Bonanza. Another time we went with a 182, and I plan on doing it with a 152 in the very near future.
I told you that. Was that you, Rich? I don't know if you were in a bad spot or not, but try it again.
Probably not doing it with a 152 in the near future.
I heard you, Hal. I was just seeing if Rich and PPN was still there. It sounded like he was in a really bad spot, but I just wanted to see if that was him or not. Rich?
Again, yes, it's me. I'm in a bad spot. I'll be gone. And to PPN.
Okay, and hopefully you stay dry. So, yeah, I've been in a small plane, I think once or twice when I was younger. Nothing recent. But the longest trip I took in the smallest plane was a de Havilland -7, like a little commuter prop plane. That was in Hawaii, going in between islands. under the front little thing. It has huge windows on the side for like sightseeing. Never been in a plane like that before. It felt a little weird.
Not a bad airplane. It has a pretty big engine and it can move. They use a lot of those around Alaska and other places for real point to point. No, I figure the 152, I could do it in about 4 or 5 days, not pushing it, and flying at about the all 7,500 feet, really seeing the countryside.
KTUPS Mobile. Well, one thing I was not aware of until I read that book by Dave Orek was how many small airfields, basically grass strips, there are all over the whole United States. So that you can take a small plane like that and just, you know, leapfrog just about any way you want fairly easily. And some of them, you know, most of them you can get fuel and stuff. Some of them are manned, some of them aren't. You know, you pull up and there's a fuel machine there with a credit card and fuel up your plane and take off again.
You do, you pull the sectionals, you look over the whole thing, apply the flight ahead of time. You see which airfields have facilities. Because you have dirt strips, you have private fields, but you want to get the ones that are, let's say, hopefully blue, that have facilities, or even red, that are not large airstrips, where you still have facilities where you can get some fuel. And it was an interesting trip, and a little 152, it'll be fun, because you can't, you know, the surface ceiling is not that high, but 7,500 or so, you can really see the countryside.
How is aviation fuel, you know, for a plane like that compared with gasoline right now? Because I don't like marine fuel. They got you by the nuts with that, man. They charge so much more for the marine fuel at the docks. Just curious what the aviation fuel is running.
Play $6 a gallon for 100 octane, and they deliver it. I can get a little less if I want to pump it myself, but I don't feel like crawling on top of a wing.
I can't say blame you there. So, all right. Well, that's not, I guess, too unreasonable for what you're getting. So, and one of my dad's friends used to be a flight instructor, and he had a simulator in his basement. Pretty cool thing. He used to let us get in there, and then when we go over to visit. And he took my dad up with him one time. He didn't tell my dad ahead of time. He goes, oh, you want to just take it, you know, go for a little flight? Yeah, sure, I'll go up. My dad's not a big flight enthusiast, but he figured, well, the guy's asking him, so he'll go with him. And it turned out he had to practice his touch and goes. You know, all we did is accelerate takeoff, make a loop, land, accelerate takeoff. My dad was green when he landed. He couldn't wait to get out of that thing.
The thing is, before you can take anybody, it's 3 takeoffs and landings within 90 days during the day. And also, after sundown, 3 takeoffs and landings within 90 days before you can even take anybody up with you. FAA is very rigid on its regulations. But I'll tell you, I can get into about 600 feet, and I burn about almost 6 gallons an hour on the thing.
All right, so at the cruising speed, 6 gallons an hour, how much ground are you covering then?
It depends on the winds aloft. I can cover just average, it's 150, over 100 miles an hour. You're figuring the losses and everything else with the winds aloft. Either I have a headwind or a tailwind. I work at about 100 miles. I figure that when I figure my calculations, the 45-minute reserve, and try and find any alternate airports, too. You know, in case you get one spot, you have to figure the alternate.
Hey, well, that doesn't sound like it's too thirsty for fuel. It's 6 gallons an hour, 100 miles an hour. Not too bad. I mean, a lot of cars don't even get that much today. At least not the little ones, anyway. They'll get better, but bigger cars aren't getting that good, so. I know this beast up there only gets about 5 miles per gallon of diesel, but that's just because of the lack of aerodynamics, especially pulling the two trailers. There's so much turbulence between the tractor and the lead trailer, and then in between the second trailer, and then all the axles on the ground and stuff. It all adds up, so we get between 5 and 5.5.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I average, let's say, 100. I could do better than that. But I figure in, you know, when I do a flight plan, the average. And then also I figure in, I have a climb prop, not a cruise prop. It's not as efficient. The cruise prop is more efficient. You can lean it out and do a lot better. But the cruise prop is not going to get you up to altitude rapidly. And I prefer getting my tail feathers as much altitude as possible on takeoff out of Republic. There's not too many options to land if the engine decides to get, you know, scary with you.
Yeah, that's true. You see the paper every now and then, some guy lands on Sunrise Highway or something, man. I don't think I'd want to have to do that.
The thing is, you know, once you get, the point is, engine is right, you know, full power, and your chances of something, you know, happening are a lot more on that takeoff. And my feeling is, the more altitude you have, you can't turn back. You got to pick a spot in front of you. Hopefully, pick a spot where you'll. The pilot is expendable. You try to save anybody, you know, problems on the ground.
Well, makes sense. So, but so I don't think I'd want to live too close to an airport like that. At least not in line with the runways.
Republic, you know, there's a Republic. You got a lot of stuff all around you, and there's a few options, but some of the options aren't that great, especially if it's a busy day. You can't really bring it in on one of the highways. You can maybe get it. You can't make a 180. So it's what's in front of you, and then you have to make some judgments. It's the best rate of glide, and then once you pick your spot, don't change your mind.
Well, with the two airports in Chicago, I've never had to fly in or out of Chicago, but if I ever did, I would do everything I could avoid to avoid going out of the one that's kind of like in this city. I think it's Midway. Was it Chicago O'Hare? I think it's Midway. That one is completely surrounded. Like, the airport is square, and it literally has city buildings on all four sides. I remember listening to some interviews of some pilots, and they say that's one of the airports that they hate to fly into, because it's just, it's like trying to land in a box. There's just no room for any errors. It's not a place that I feel comfortable being a passenger and going in or out of there.
They come in on the ILS, and they feel they can't make it on a decision how they put full power and then go around. You know, if in doubt, full throttle, cut the sink rate, go around.
Yeah, they were showing with like an animation just how close they come to some of the buildings. And that's what's a little scary. But there was another one down, I don't know if it was in South America or somewhere over on an island in Europe, where it's this fairly big runway, a big airport, but the runway crosses a major roadway, like what would be an interstate here. And they actually have traffic lights. When a plane is going to land or take off, they stop the traffic on the road so that the plane can then take off, you know, crossways. It doesn't take off in the same direction. It's just perpendicular. But still, they kind of stop the traffic to allow that to happen. Like, oof, I don't know about that. And there was another one that was way up in the mountains somewhere. And you kind of had to fly between a couple peaks and then drop down quick so you could touch down safely on that strip. And that was another one, not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, you know, going into an airport that's in the mountains with higher altitude on a warm day, it can be very iffy. You really have to, you know, judge what you're doing. Because your sink rate's very fast, and your ground roll, you have only so much space to work in. And even takeoff, on a warm day up in the mountains, if you, let's say you're full of fuel and you did your weight balance, it can be a little scary.
Oh, yeah. Well, they showed some of these commercial planes going in and out of those locations, and, man, they were being buffeted around on windy days. Like I said, that's not a place I'm going to try to go, that's for sure. But, and I like watching the old, like the Alaskan bush pilots, the guys that still deliver the mail and the supplies to the people that are out in the middle of nowhere. You know, they make a trip in once a week or once a month, drop stuff off, supplies, pick up stuff that maybe they've produced, animal skins, whatever. keep on going. Those guys have a very interesting life.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Rick. You know, it's a whole different type of flying when you're flying around Alaska. But, you know, some of the places here can be a little tight, too. And the biggest problem is many times a person, you know, will take like a 172 Cessna, supposedly a four place, and take four adults on a warm day and fuel and not do their calculations. And it's a situation for bad news.
And plus with the amount of air traffic in the tri-state area, especially if you're flying a small plane, you know, you're really going to keep your head on a swivel and know just where you are and where everybody else is, and that can get tight. And the airports are so crowded with the commercial flights, they got them stacked up coming in and going out. It's just non-stop business for them. You know, they don't make money when the planes are on the ground.
Well, you know, all around here, let's say LaGuardia, Kennedy, Newark, and Queens, that's all Class B airspace. And there's no small aircraft twiddling around there. You got some helicopters, but no small general aviation. There's too much heavy iron, and ATC is not happy if you're requesting going to that airspace. Now, they'll let you in, you have a transponder and everything, and they'll vector you, but it's too dangerous. Because you got all this stuff coming into those three airports, and these large aircraft cannot deviate. And if you're in their path, it could be a problem.
K2UPS mobile. Well, with a plane like you have, I guess you really can't even go anywhere near Queens then, right? I mean, you can fly over Nassau and Suffolk, but I would imagine you don't even want to go anywhere near Queens.
Keep away from Queens. If I want to go west, I'm going to go north, up towards Canada, you know, not Canada, up towards Connecticut, then swing west, or if I want to go south, I'd go along the beach. But I don't really care to run single engine along the beach either, along the coast, because if you have any problems, you can possibly put it down on the beach, but it's rough. You know, years ago when I learned out in Santa Monica, once we cleared the TCA, we didn't have a lot of air traffic. But out here, it's Russian roulette. And they don't really want small aircraft twiddling around. Going out east is no problem. You know, take off from Republic and go out, you know, towards the Hamptons, stuff like that. But you still have some stuff coming in from the other airfield there, near the, you know, further out. But it's like anything else. You know, you got to keep your eyes open. And don't do anything stupid, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I hear that. What's that airport out there? It's a Gabreski airport for the National Guard that operates out of there. I know they keep talking about closing them down, and all the local people like, no, they don't want that to happen, because then you have to get some guy, you know, the rescue would have to come in from, was it Massachusetts or something? Cape Cod, I think the next closest one. They're trying to keep that open, but every now and then you keep hearing that they want to shut that one down.
Sikorsky, I think, in Connecticut.
Yeah, but there's one out on Long Island, out in Suffolk County, way out. I'm trying to think what the name of it is now.
I know what you're going to be, tip my tongue. Well, you know, you got MacArthur, which is a biggie. That's becoming a more of a, you know, type of airport. Sometimes it may make it into an international airport. But there's one there, way out near Calverton also. There's a couple fields out there out on Long Island. I'll pull a section off to find the name for you. But the general aviation has all changed after September 11th. That's when the FAA really decided to go crazy with the rules and all the airspace restrictions, the whole nine yards. You know, you don't tootle around Manhattan to do sightseeing nowadays, not in a small plane. Rich, I'm just pulling into my parking spot here. It was Oceanside. And you can call me on the phone. I'll tell you a little story. We find you very amusing. Talk to you later. Just keep six dirty purples on me.
All right, Al. You have a good day. I'll catch you later on K2UPS mobile.
Six dirty purples on me, clear.
Next.
All right, KKX. KKX, you are covered. AC2 KKX, K6 DP3. Roadkill is doing a number on you, forget it. K6 DPC clear. I get that.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
KD2CWC, WB2CMF Mobile.
KD2CMF, KD2CWC, good morning, Pat.
Well, good morning, Phil. Just passing the lake. What time did you get back last night?
We got back about, almost 7:30. Hit traffic on the hutch. Not too bad at the beginning of the hutch. Just a little slowdown, but once we got hit by Co-op City, it was like bumper to bumper all the way all the way to the expressway. That was packed up going towards George Washington Bridge, so packed up that on the entire length, really. After I got past there, made it right to the toll booth.
Okay. I figured you either got in late or you fell asleep because I didn't get any texts or anything. So, okay. Well, at least you had a good weekend for it.
Yeah. Actually, I did send you a text. I guess you never got it. Plus, we had a detour. There was a fire on Hunter's Land Road, so I had to go the back way to get back down to 145. They had a big fire warning up there, you know, because everything's dry and, which sounds funny because it's not dry, the ground's all soft and everything. But, you know, I think even down here they had a fire warning between the low humidity and the,
Yeah, we've had, at least two fire warnings last week. So things have been, well, like you said, with the low humidity. So, okay, I spent my night last night, I'm still trying to restore the then computer. I just reinstalled Windows on it from scratch. I got a lot that I backed up, so I'll be able to get all that back, but not all of it. This one's still ongoing, so I didn't want to take a chance, even though I believe the virus was removed. I did not want to take a chance, so I reinstalled everything.
I mean, to SCT Mobile, good morning.
SCT Mobile, good morning, Pete. Pick it up.
All right, good morning, Phil and Pat. Nice to hear you both. And, had a good weekend, so it sounds like you did go up, Phil, checking the house and everything, and things, turn on the heat to get that going, or shut the water down when you left. So, I wonder how things are down there. Is it still very muddy, or not? I heard you say part of warning. Yeah, it has been dry out. You know, we have all the snow this winter. Amazing. And I had a good music festival at William Floyd High School. It was very good. It's tiring, but you have to go right from school to judge the afternoon to the evening. But they put us up at the Hampton Inn at exit 63 that you'll be you may have passed already Pat, and it went very well on Saturday. I got finished about 3:30. Pat, over to you.
Okay, W2SCT, WB2CMF Mobile. Good morning to you, Peter. just wondering if your dredging went well. Sounds like it did. They've got a new courtesy tone out here. A little bit more annoying, if you ask me. The other one was a little bit more pleasant. But you'll hear when you get out here. Anyway, had a good weekend. Busy, though, because I picked up a virus on our family computer. So I've been repairing that. That one did damage the first time that's ever happened to me. So my nights, anyway, have been tied up with that.
Yeah, that's really amazing that that happened. Yeah, hopefully later on today I'll try to call in and hopefully that computer will answer and I'll be able to download a picture. It should. When I left it was, I tried to, yeah, I cut the power off to it and it blew it right up when I restored that. Seems like it's working okay again. We'll see. You know, I might have to readjust the camera angle so that, you know, moves. I think I got it good. We'll see what happens. Other than that, it's a shame about those two trees. I took a couple of pictures of them.
All right, Pat, Phil, you were cutting in and out at the end there. I don't know if you just hit a wrong spot or if you might even be kind of low. But, very good. I guess it's not that muddy up there. I guess it's fairly dry. It's fine, that's good. And, sorry about the virus, Phil, Pat, gets annoying even though I have all the spyware, this virus can get in there and really get a lot of trouble. So, sorry that you got that. I hope you'll be able to get rid of it.
DC2, KKX.
recognize good morning to you. Hope you had a good weekend.
All right, very good. Yeah, it takes a while to dry out, like I said, field. I wonder how much land you have up there, Phil, when it comes around to the weekend. And, because they're going to get a lot of heavy rain today, so it's going to have an impact, that's for sure. As well as down here, but I'm amazed it's dry out. It's just, apparently, you know, it's just been, this month, not much rain, and it doesn't take long to get into that dry territory despite all the snow we had this winter and everything else. It's amazing. So, I enjoyed the music festival. It was nice. It's a big high school in Floyd. It's like a community college campus. It's very large, and I've been there at least twice before for music festivals, so it's quite nice. But I enjoyed it a lot. And it was a nice weekend out there. Pete, over to you at W2SET Mobile. And then it goes over to Phil.
Hello, good morning, Pete and Phil and Pat, if you're listening. Anyway, we're just landing in Manhattan now, where it's drizzling and about 50 degrees. Been a good weekend. Nothing special, but put up on the honeydews and got some work done and a little fun in. Went out to a nice jazz club on Saturday evening, so was a pretty good weekend. Anyway, back in the saddle on Monday. So, Phil, let me pass it to you. And hopefully tomorrow will be a sunny day.
Good morning, KT2KKX, KT2TWC. Yeah, hopefully today's not going to be. I got a doctor's appointment early this morning, the eye doctor. Now I almost vaguely remember now how it felt coming back from upstate and having to go to work in the morning. I'm all in aches and pains, especially with that drive. When you're not used to it, it wears you down. But had a good weekend. Luckily, there was no plumbing damage in the house. And Pete, the other Pete, I got just under 10 acres of land. It's like 9 3/4 acres. Over to you, Pete.
Okay, very good. Just get the beep tone there. All right, we'll see if Pat's back in a moment. Very good, Pete, on the jazz club, I guess, close to you, where you live, and sounds like a nice time on Saturday. I was judging at a music festival. We have our New York State School Music Association contest that started at the end of March, I think, all the way through early June. So we're at it now, and it's going along all right. It was a very large festival. We had about 3,000 students. I think it's the largest festival in the Suffolk County area. Anyhow, we have more coming up. Good. And pleasant weekend. It's a really beautiful, especially Saturday, which is incredible. So I guess we'll get the much-needed rain today. Tomorrow's supposed to be nice. A little rain coming Wednesday night, I guess, the Thursday, but nothing too bad. Daffodils are all blooming now, and tulips are getting ready pretty soon. And the forsythias are coming out now. Of course, forsythias are starting to move around. Pete, over to you.
Yeah, the forsythia are blooming in Westchester, or at least southern Westchester. in the garden if you're inclined. And sounds like your NISMA competition went well, Pete. And hopefully you identified some great talent and maybe
over this garbage or not. We just found our way into Richmond Hill.